I saw a new commercial the other day. There was a man who had a new tablet, and he was showing his friends, other two men, his tablet, and showing them that he could watch television on his tablet. And so he was standing on a street corner. You could tell it was a downtown area. It was night. He was standing on the street corner, and he was holding his tablet. And he said, "Look, I'm looking at the news. Look, there's a police chase going on right now." And they're all looking at the tablet. "Look, there's a police chase going on right now. And there are these three guys running with masks on, and the police are chasing them." And about that time, you see the three guys run down the street right by them. And they're still looking at the tablet. And he says, "Look, they're being chased by police on horseback." And you see the police on horseback riding by. And they're still glued to their tablet. And then he says, "Look, there's even a helicopter chasing them." And about that time, you see the helicopter light shine right on them. They're still looking at their tablet. Finally, the thief comes running by and grabs the tablet out of their hand and runs down the street. And they don't know what's happened. How often are we like those three guys standing on the street corner, totally focused on something else, and we miss what's going on right by us? I sometimes wonder if that's what the story of Epiphany is all about. When I think of Epiphany, while yes, I think of the story of the Magi traveling to follow the star, I really also always have in my head that image of the cartoon character with the light bulb going off right here. I've had an epiphany. What must others have thought of this bright light? Did they notice it? I mean, it was bright enough that the Magi would follow it. Didn't people around the area have to notice that there's this strange light hovering over us? There's so much controversy and diversity about this scripture. There are those who say, well, the planets aligned and there was this great light. And there are those who say, well, it was a supernova that occurred and a star violently exploded. Some even say it was Halley's Comet. Who knows the science behind it? I don't personally know it, and I don't need to know it. But I do wonder about what it was like. I do wonder what the reason for it was, and what did others think was going on? Is the star our symbol for the aha moment? Oh, Jesus is the Messiah. Or is the star a symbol for our need to have a divine revelation? Without something really, really big to get our attention, do we miss the coming of the Messiah, just like the guys on the street corner? Aren't we every day distracted by the world so much that we miss the Messiah passing by? Aren't there times when we have a perfect opportunity to see Christ and we let it pass right by us? The star is a sign, a wonder, a revelation, a guidepost, a traffic light, a tracking device, a global positioning system. If that puts it in a language you can understand, that brings us to the point and place of a divine revelation about the Messiah. While the star, the symbol of Epiphany, is important, and the story, which we're all familiar with, is paramount to the day, I also wanted us to weave in the Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, where we glean just a bit of the significance of this story. The wise men came from afar, from the east. They were not Jews. Their presence at the feet of Jesus, the homage that they pay, shows us that Jesus was the one that was sent for all of us, no matter where we come from. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he proclaims the glory of the universal work of Christ, and he describes his own call to make that glory known throughout the world. As Paul puts it, it's his call as a gift of God's grace. The season of Epiphany for us should be, like it is for Paul, a commissioning of sorts. A time when we recognize God sending us forth to carry that light of Christ out into the busy, distracted, broken world we live in. The more I thought about that call, that commission, the more I thought about how many people in our community, in our society, in our world, in our pews, who are being left out of the abundance of God's grace. Yesterday I was up here and I realized there wasn't anything on the front sign. And so I ran downstairs and I just grabbed the letters to put up there. And I thought, what do I put? And I thought, Happy New Year's is the easiest thing. So I put Happy New Year. And then I thought about what else could I put up there. And I was thinking about the sermon and I thought about our t-shirts. If you've seen our t-shirts that we have around, on the back they say, Everybody Matters. And I thought, how many people drive by our church every day and are left out of the abundance of God's grace? How many people drive by our church every day and don't know that they matter? It's our job as a church to take that light that manifests itself to us in the form of Christ. It's our job to take that light into the world. The mystery of the Epiphany is the inclusion of all people among God's people. It's not the mystery of where the light was or how bright the light shined. The mystery is we need to take that light, that light is for all. That had to be a hard one to accept then. And for many, it's just as hard today. Not necessarily for the same reasons. But it's much easier to think that God wants everyone to be just like me. The problem is that each one of our me's is different. The child born that blessed morning was born for all. Part of the role of the church is to recognize that the child came for all of us, but also to recognize that gift is not to be monopolized. It's to be shared. It's our job to share not only the good news of Christ, but also the fact that if we trust in Christ, our lives can be enriched. Not in worldly ways, but in extraordinary ways. We sometimes forget that the church plays a vital role in people learning. We, and by we I mean the church, are a primary part of God's plan. I truly believe if God is going to do anything in this world, He's going to do it through the church. Paul helps us learn that it's the body of Christ that is to do God's work here on earth. And the church is the body of Christ. Not just us, but all of the churches bound together, becoming the body of Christ. And I'll admit that I battle this idea. I see churches that say, okay, Christ came for you and for you and for you. And if you'll change your ways for you. And I see churches that make people welcome if you're not like this or if you're not like this. Churches that say, okay, if you've done this or that, you need to change, and then you can't do certain things. How do I reconcile the body of Christ being all of these churches around us? I don't know. But we're all part of the body and we all have a role to play. Maybe ours is to make sure that we say, come on in, you matter. Maybe ours is to be that example in this community. Maybe our job is to meet new people. I was talking to Roy the other day, and you know, we're in an interesting role as ministers. And I don't know people who aren't in church. I know people who go to other churches. I know people who pastor other churches and are ministers at other churches. I know the few people that live around us in our neighborhood, and I know the churches they go to. But I don't really get involved in other people's lives. And I have a real need to get out and get involved in some things where I can meet people who might not know the light of Christ. I think we also have a responsibility to look around at each other. Look around at each other. You can do it. Look around. Look around at the people here. There are some people that you don't know. There are some people who are struggling. We have a responsibility to look around at each other and to know the people who walk through those doors every day. To get to know them. There are people here with us who are lonely and who feel in darkness, where just a simple conversation or an invitation to dinner could shine a light in their lives. And then I love the last part of this gospel reading, because after the Magi found Jesus, and after they paid homage, and after they gave him gifts, that's the end of the story of the star. We don't hear about it anymore. It doesn't guide them to their next stop. It doesn't stay over the child. The Magi had found their divine revelation. The star had performed its function. That which was external now became internal. They were changed. Once we recognize the Christ child born for each one of us, once we've paid homage and given of ourselves as gifts, then that external light becomes a part of us and becomes internal. And it illuminates us. And we can't forget what we've seen. We then have no choice but to share that light, showing everyone that they matter, that the Christ child came for them. And then we move to the altar, the table that is set for each one of us, the table that towards the end of Christ's life said the same exact thing. This is for you, my child. I came for you. And we come forward for intinction, which is a little different than some churches, but we come because we come to say, I accept the gift you've given to me. I take the gift. So we come to this table. We come saying, we've seen the light, and the light is a part of us and illuminates us. I invite those who are helping to serve communion to come forth today. On that night, as Jesus gathered with his disciples, those who had given of their life to follow, on that night, Christ took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. When you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me." And after they had eaten, he took the cup and he blessed it. He said, "This cup is a new covenant of love. When you drink of it, remember the covenant. Remember that I come to give you my life so that you may have newness of life."